Welcome to the Jen Baker Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our special guest, Robert Henderson. Our co-hosts today are Lori Crable, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Grace Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker.
Yes.
And I want to thank God that my daughter is here on
yes,
the show.
Yes, me too.
And
thank
helping
God.
Behind the scenes.
Oh, she helps behind. As a matter of fact, right before we were about to go on the broadcast, I had her right here saying, "And Sue, we need to do this and do that and do this and do that as far as getting things done behind the scenes." And so she's like, "Yes, I'm on board with you. Yes, let's get that done." And isn't that amazing when you have family members and people in your life that you can talk to and say, "Okay, let's get that done, Laura." She's always positive. She's like, "We can do this.
Yes,
Dad, we got
that.
This."
I
heard her
it.
The other day with Jim, you know, when he was not feeling well and I was doing the broadcast and she was at home taking care of her dad when she had a million things to do here behind the scenes. And
I believe in you. That's what it is, Dad. I believe in my dad. I believe in the God that is in him. So we have to encourage one another.
That's right. Amen, honey.
Sue, just sing one word of "You Can Make It."
One word?
Yeah, well, two. Two maybe.
You can make it.
Yes, I can.
Amen.
You will make it. Oh, this trial you're going through, God's going to show you just what to do. You can make it. You can make it. I don't care what's going wrong. God won't let it last too long. And you're not in this thing alone. You can make it.
Yeah.
Tammy Sue Baker. With our mini inspiration, mini songs.
That's right.
We are happy to have Pastor Robert Henderson back with us today. He's a global apostolic leader who operates in revelation, impartation. He's author of the best-selling Courts of Heaven series in his latest book, The Gift of Tongues, what it is, what it isn't, and why you need it. Robert is the host of Courts of Heaven TV on the PTL Voice of the Prophets Network.
Yay.
He is very, very well known, very popular, and a most sought after speaker probably in America today. He's been married for 44 years.
Yay.
44. We got married at 5.
We have 6 children.
Amazing.
7 grandchildren.
Is that how
is
many
that right?
You have now?
Yeah, and one on the way.
And one on the way.
Oh.
We love our grandchildren.
You live in Texas?
We live in Texas. We do. We do. And we enjoy our life.
Today we're talking about the gift of tongues, and oh, if I could tell my story, and Bobby was the one who it was the first time I ever heard tongues, and oh, it's an incredible story of what God did.
Yeah,
it's supernatural, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely supernatural. You know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which I honestly believe, I'm old school, I honestly believe it's the way it's supposed to happen.
Yes, I do too.
You know, there's arguments over, well, you don't have to speak in tongues. And I'm like, why would you not want to?
Right.
I mean, so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 12 years old, spoke in other tongues.
Wow.
We were in a very legalistic denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of that. My dad was so hungry. And within a few months, you know, I was prayed for and I spoke in other tongues.
Wow.
And it changed my life forever.
It does change your life forever.
Yes.
It's that dumenous power. It's that the comforter. It's everything.
I received the Holy Spirit when I was 19 and it was so supernatural. The great prophet.
Bill Halverson.
Yes.
And we were at Billy
Well-known, quite a Bill Billy Brim, of course.
But we were at Billy Brim's.
Knows who she is.
We were
he
at
is.
Billy Brim's for a conference, and all of a sudden, Brother Phil, she had Brother Phil Halverson on an old video, and all of a sudden, Jim goes, "That's the man who prophesied over me when I was 19 years old."
Wow.
And then, it's.
I also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit under him. And the day before I went to Bible school, I started the next day. And it was so supernatural.
It really is.
I went back to the school, to the dorm, and talked in tongues all night long.
Wow.
I don't know if I kept my roommates awake, probably did. But it was supernatural. I mean, it was supernatural. Yes. I was so determined it wouldn't be me that when it wasn't me,
yes.
Right.
I let the Holy Spirit take over.
Amen.
And I don't think I would be here today if it hadn't been for the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I agree.
Amen. No, I would completely agree with that. You know, whenever I was, even at that age, I remember whenever I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, even at 12 years old, I had these struggles going on inside of me. I guess maybe everybody does, but I remember them so distinctly. I remember after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, I became aware about a week later that those struggles I had, I no longer had. They were gone. I hadn't even thought about it. Had not even thought about anything in regards to things that I felt so condemned over or anything. Because he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power.
Yes.
And it eradicates so often those struggles that we have because the power of the enemy is broken out of your life.
Mm.
And it just really changed me in a very significant way, even at that moment.
Now, may I just share something real quick, and then we're going to get really into this so everyone can understand. So I was just talking about Bobby, my best friend. And so, you know, we'd lived a wild, crazy life for many years, our teens, our 20s. And so it's we're in our late 20s at this time. And so she came over, and Mom and I were living in a condo, and right across the condo complex was the pool. We lived in Phoenix, Arizona, born and raised there. And then there was the spa, the hot tub, you know. So it's just Bobby and I, and we go out to the hot tub. And all of a sudden, she has a great singing voice. All of a sudden, she starts singing in this. Now, we're not living for the Lord, what I'm about to say. I mean, we love Jesus, but we weren't full in. We hadn't gone all the way in, we haven't fully surrendered. And so all of a sudden, she starts singing in this language. And I'm like, what is that? Because I had never heard it. I wasn't born and raised Pentecostal. I was born and raised in a denomination that didn't believe in that. So I was like, what is that? And she goes, I'm just praying in the Spirit. I'm singing in the Spirit. I go, what do you mean you're singing in the Spirit? Like, what is that? I go, how did you get that? I want that, because that hunger was inside of me. She goes, I just asked God for it. I just asked the Lord for it. And he just filled me up. And so we start, you know, I'm starting like, God, please give it to me. So I don't get it that night. And I'm like, well, this is a bunch of, you know what, I mean, in my mind, I was thinking from my being coming out of the world or still being in the world. And so it was a few years later when this gal that I was working with, she invited me to go to a college and career class. Now I'm like in my early 30s. I'm divorced. I'm not college and career material at that time. But she invited me to go. And Larry Karachek, love you, Larry Karachek, Larry and Wendy. They watch us from Phoenix area. And Larry Karachek was leading the class. And at 200-300 people were in this class. And he said, tonight, you know, I had a message, but I feel like the Lord's changing this because there are people here who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And so this girl who I told her I wanted that because I'd been on this search for this, but I still didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And so she tasked me. She goes, that's you. That's you. You got to go down front because I'm like, we're sitting way in the back. You know, I didn't want to be up front and I'm not living for the Lord yet. And so she goes, that's you. That's you. So I go down and there's like six people sitting there, or these young people sitting there, and I'm in between them, and I'm trying, I'm praying in English, I'm asking God in English, and all of a sudden I feel this, I have my eyes closed, and I feel a knee on a tap on my shoulder, and it was this young man sitting before me, and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "I want you to say thank you in English and Spanish at the same time." Hmm. And I said, "Well, I can't do that at the same time." He said, "Exactly. You need to stop praying in English and the next words that are going to come out of your mouth in the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues." And like you, Jim, I mean, I don't even know how I drove home that night. I don't even know. It was just all night long. And it's never, and it's just been the most beautiful, wow. It was the most beautiful infilling. And I'm finally able to call Bobby and say, "I got it. I got that gift." And so.
I know millions want to receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe before we're through, you could give them some ideas of how to receive. Your new book is called The Gift of Tongues. How is this gift an important aspect of our prayer lives?
Well, the truth is, if I didn't have the gift of tongues, I wouldn't have a prayer life, for me personally. Because if have you, and I would just ask even your audience, have you ever tried to spend any amount of time praying at all? It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. I remember back when Larry Lee was so popular and teaching us to pray for an hour. I was like, I started in trying to pray for an hour, and I thought, it's got to have been 30 minutes. It'd been like 3 minutes. It was like one of the hardest things. Mm. But because I was filled with the Spirit and I could speak in tongues, when I didn't know what to pray, because that's actually what it says, I could begin to pray in the Spirit. And then out of my prayer in the Spirit, understanding would begin to unlock, and I could pray in English, and I'd pray in the Spirit some more. I mean, I just did this morning before the show. I'm in my room, and I'm seeking the Lord. Still to this day, it is a dominant part of my prayer time where that I am praying. But here's the thing. When I pray in English, I can't listen. When I pray in tongues, I can listen.
That's true.
See, that's the thing. You pray in English, well, your own words are dominating your thinking. True. But when you're praying in tongues, you can pray in tongues and listen at the same time to what God's saying. All revelation will start coming to you as a result of that helps you even pray better.
Our friend Bishop Bill Hammond, he wrote the foreword to your book. He said that you had blessed the body of Christ with a truth that needs to be more emphasized in this day and hour. Why do we need the gift for this hour?
On a personal level, none of us have probably ever lived through the situations that are presently in the world that only look to get worse.
That's right.
Yeah. True. Yeah. But when you have the gift of tongues, you have something on the inside of you that will make you equal and even more than a conqueror against anything that you could possibly face. And so I believe on a personal level we need the gift of tongues because it's going to keep us strengthened. When everybody else is wanting to give up and quit, when you have the gift of tongues, you have something on the inside of you that can bring unbelievable encouragement, because that's what Paul said. He said that he who prays in the unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up in his most holy faith. And so if I'm feeling discouraged, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I can start praying in the Spirit. And what happens to me is all of a sudden it's like the fog clears and a new perspective starts to come, and I move from doubt and fear back into faith. I mean, that's what happens to me when I pray in the Spirit, and I begin to tap that unseen realm, because this is what I believe. I believe tongues is an entry point, that we go through a gate into the supernatural realms of God.
Well, why wouldn't people want this?
Well, they've been taught against it, number one.
Right.
There's so many churches if they teach it at all, quite often they teach against it, and they teach against it, I believe, because number one, that's a demonic agenda. The enemy understands the power of it, so he wants to keep people out of it. So he stirs people up to teach all sorts of things that would be against it to make people negative. But the other thing is, it doesn't really make sense in the natural. When somebody says you need to speak in an unknown language, you need to be able to, you know, that's from heaven, and they're like, well, and then they hear it, and I'm like, well, why would I want to do that? Because I tell people this, You don't get it till you got it. Because that's absolutely true.
That's so true.
You don't get it till you got it. You can try to explain it to people and all that, but once you experience tongues, it's like, oh, now I understand. I will never forget, I was in a prayer meeting, and I was leading the prayer meeting. And so I was leading this prayer meeting, and we were all praying, and there was a guy from Haiti that happened to be in the prayer meeting. And so as I was praying and doing, when we got through, after about an hour, he walks up to me and he says, do you know French? Because they speak French in Haiti. And I said, no, I barely speak English. And he said, every time you would finish praying in the spirit, you would say Shatim. He said, do you know what Shatim is? He said, it's French for I love you.
Mm.
Said, you were telling God in French, the French language, I love you, every time you would finish whatever else you were saying.
Yeah, that's so amazing. You know, I've heard that story so many times, where somebody that speaks another language and that person doesn't. Same exact story on so many different levels. So
because
amazing.
You know, I've heard stories, and in some senses it's happened to me, but I've heard stories where people had this deep desire to want to say something to God that their natural language couldn't communicate.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, glory and unspeakable type thing. And yet whenever that went through tongues, they were satisfied deep in their spirit when they began to speak, because they knew they were actually communicating with God on the level that their spirit deeply desired.
Is this how the Holy Spirit uses this gift to help us release the cry of our heart filled with passion to God?
Yeah, you know, in Romans 8:26, it says, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, which says all of us.
Yeah.
It says the Spirit helps our weakness. And then it speaks of groanings. I think there's a dimension of intercession that we tap sometimes that are little, can be groanings. But I also think they're speaking of the gift of tongues. That when I don't know how to pray as I ought, I want to communicate with God. I want to express something to the Lord that either I don't know what I need to be saying, or my natural language seems inadequate. It's like tongues communicates that. And touches something, I believe touches something in God, sometimes that our natural language doesn't touch. Is it okay for me to tell just a real quick story? I read this years ago about this lady who had a son who was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. And he would fly missions, and of course she was worried about him constantly. Well, she woke up in the middle of the night one night and had to go to the restroom. Of course, this is back in the 60s, or some that were thereabouts. And as she's coming back to bed, this tremendous travail hits her. She falls on the floor and begins to pray in tongues. She doesn't know what's happening, but she just, all of a sudden, as she's praying in tongues, up out of her spirit comes this cry. And it is, get down, get down, get down. And then it lifts, and she goes back to praying in tongues. It comes again. Get down, get down. And then she keeps praying in tongues. And then she hears coming out of her heart, get up and run, get up and run. What she didn't know, at that very moment, her son had been shot down. And he was hiding in the jungle from the enemy. And as he was hiding there, they were all around him trying to find him. But then it went quiet, and he thought they'd gone. And he said he started to get up and run. But as he began to get up, he felt a hand in the back of his back push him down, and he heard a scream in his ears, get down, get down, get down.
Mm.
And then so he laid there again. Same thing happened. Hand in the middle of his back, get down. Finally, he heard that voice say, get up and run, get up and run. His mother was birthing that through tongues. While she was in her bedroom in America and he was in Vietnam, his mother was birthing that through tongues so that her son did not become a prisoner of war.
Praise God.
But he came home untouched.
Praise God for praying mothers, right?
I need this book. I've learned so much already from your book. And I just got the book yesterday, so I'm happy to read it and go through it. I've been going through it ever since I got it. And it's powerful.
Yes.
Stuff that I need.
We all
If
do.
I need it, you need it.
Right.
Amen. We all need it, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're living in the last days where we need to arm with everything.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Boy, I hate to get negative, but I want to ask can I ask you a negative question?
Oh, boy.
What are the three arguments against the gift of tongues? Because I've heard people say, oh, it's of the devil and all this kind of stuff. But what you mentioned in your book, I think, three things especially against the gift of tongues.
Yeah, one of the main ones, some say it doesn't make any sense. Some say, because they're
that
looking
must
at...
That mean it's God.
That's right. That's right. their argument is that it doesn't seem to make any sense as far as just when they hear people pray in tongues. Yeah. And they call it gibberish. Some, because they don't understand... That's why I said you don't get it till you got it. Some... They don't. You can never persuade them of the power that's associated with it, and so they feel like, well, you know what? I don't have any idea why this would be a benefit to me. I'm okay without it because we live in the church so subpar, below the power level we're supposed to be living in, and we're all contending to get to those levels and to see. You'll see the Bible actually made manifest again where but we're not going to get there until we can get into those power levels, which is what tongues allows us to do, to come into those dimensions.
If we say that tongues are of the devil, which, man, I've heard that since I was a kid. Anybody ever have other religions especially will say, well, that's of the devil. Speaking of tongues, of the devil. Are we in danger of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?
I think there's a lot of well-meaning people that say things in English.
Because here's how I've looked at people. Mm-hmm. Even when I was a kid and I was taught this, just don't fool with it. Did anybody grow up in a Pentecostal church? Anybody here grow up in Pentecost?
Not very few. Oh my goodness, only a few.
But you heard the spoken tongues and people, kids would make fun of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just even church kids would just kind of make fun of speaking in tongues. And I always felt a deep check.
Mm.
This is not good.
Yes.
What do you think?
I agree on two levels. One is because we must be very careful that we not dishonor the Holy Spirit. Even us that are well-meaning, we can treat him lightly and treat him not on the same level that we would treat, if you will, the Father and the Son. I mean, some people almost picture the Holy Spirit as a lesser God, but he is just as much God as the Father and the Son. And so if we would reverence him and honor him, his power would be made manifest more among us than sometimes what it is. Because even in the church, I'll give you, for instance, I was mightily touched in a meeting. I won't bother to call the person's name. Some people will figure it out. Well, I was on the bus to go home I was the pastor. I'd flown into the conference. They had come on a bus. So I was going to just ride the bus back with them rather than have to get on the plane the next day late at night. So when I get on the bus, because they've watched me on this platform get dynamically touched. I'm talking about the power of God hit me and threw me up in the air. I'm not talking about laying down. I'm talking about like three times. I mean, boom, boom, boom. And the third time I took everybody down behind me. I mean, like a bowling ball, but boom, I was gone. Well, when I got on the bus, the people, they loved me. They meant no harm. They began to say, man, he got you tonight, da, da, da. And they were laughing and cutting up. Well, one of the guys from their ministry got on the bus with me. When he heard that, he unloaded on the bus. I felt so bad for our people, but I knew he was right. He unloaded. He said, how dare you treat the Holy Spirit with that irreverence? And I suddenly realized why the weight of God so accompanied that ministry, because they reverenced the person of the Spirit of God. And I believe we need that back in the church.
Yes, we do.
Because I believe we would see so much more power and might if that was present among us.
Exactly.
Oh, my. The reverence to God is almost nil in this country. If there's needs of revival, we need a revival of the holiness of God. Has the prophetic essence of the Holy Spirit been poured out on all flesh. You know, the Bible says he's going to pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. But is that a crazy question?
No, no, because Acts 2 and Joel 2, I mean, clearly it says, he said, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh.
Yeah,
your sons
did.
And your daughters are prophesied.
But I don't see it on all flesh.
That's right. But it's available to all flesh.
It is.
See, that's the thing. He's come. He's available to those that are hungry, to those that are thirsty. And this is what I tell people. See, what that means, among other things, in the Old Testament, there were special people, prophets and priests primarily, that could step into spiritual dimensions with God. But now, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all God's people have access into those prophetic dimensions of God if they choose to move into them by faith. And the thing is, the gift of tongues is what gives us entrance into those places. That when we pray in tongues, we step into those prophetic realms where we can begin to discern what God's doing.
Wow. How is water baptism key to having the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I bet a lot of people haven't connected that.
No, Paul connected it in Acts 19. You know, you see three occasions in the book of Acts, Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, where you see the Holy Spirit poured out upon numbers of people. And in Acts 19, it's quite interesting. Paul comes to Ephesus, and it appears Apollos has been there before, and he's taught them only about the baptism of John. So Paul says to these disciples, they are believers, they're born-again people. And this is the thing that people that say, hey, I'm born again, I got it all when I got born again. I said, no, in Acts 19, there were disciples and he says to the disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So they were believers, they were disciples. And they say, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. Paul immediately said, what then were you baptized into? And they said, John's baptism. And Paul said, no, that was a baptism of repentance. Christian baptism is identifying with the death and burial of Jesus and his resurrection. When you're baptized, you identify. In other words, you're saying, I died with him. My old man died. When I come up into newness of life, which requires the person of the Holy Spirit to bring you fully into that. And that's why he baptized them in water in the name of Jesus. And when he did, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even Jesus, when he did, they immediately received the Holy Spirit.
Oh. Mm.
Beautiful.
Boy, I'm going to go where angels fear to tread right now. Are there consequences of rejecting the gift of speaking in tongues? I don't want to get into craziness, but it's been taken so lightly, I don't think it would hurt for us to be a little heavy about it.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I have an experience in my own personal family. I mean, not my family, but my brothers and my sisters. My whole family, when I was 12, came into the things of the Spirit. My dad, my mom, me, my twin brother, and all the brothers and sisters, except for one of my brothers. And he was from the same denomination we were from. And they embraced it, and they came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. But the denomination came to his door and began to knock on his door and came in and so scared him that he was believing something that would send him to hell. That he shut it all down. I'm telling you, I watched through the years, the rest of our family moved closer and closer, experienced the glories and the powers of God. My brother that shut it down and would not operate it and even said it wasn't of God, he struggled with his faith his entire life. And it was because he let them talk him out of a legitimate gift that God had poured out on him. Now, I believe he's in heaven.
I have never, ever known anyone who mocks the Holy Spirit live a victorious Christian life. Even those who don't believe, if they shutter their mouth, as we say in Italian, you just don't speak out against the Holy Spirit. Things you do not know of. Tell us what happens when we grieve the Holy Spirit?
He leaves. he just his presence left. When my pastor, which I dedicated this book to,
I know
James
that.
Walker.
Yeah.
He's now 80 plus years old.
Whoa, good
and,
for him.
Yeah. but I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for him. And so I honor him so much. But he was a Baptist. He was a Baptist. Don't tell what branch, but he was a Baptist. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole story behind that in 69 and 70. Well, he was pastoring a Baptist church that he had started. Well, he didn't even start teaching on it. The word just got out that he spoke in tongues. Well, in those days, it was really common for them to be kicked out,
He
was.
Yeah.
He was kicked out, lost everything he had labored for, built for. You know, they just said, you got to go. And they charged him with heresy, even though he hadn't even taught on it. But they kicked him out, but he wouldn't renege. He would not, take a stand against the Holy Spirit. And this is what he told me. He said, that church will never do anything. It was growing and going. He said, that church will never do anything because of the stand they took against the Holy Spirit. He was absolutely right. I live in the same city that church is in now. It just stayed the same, reduced until it ceased to exist because they grieved the Holy Spirit, because they took a stand against the Holy Spirit. And it is a very dangerous thing to do, that we not do that. I mean, we've all grieved the Holy Spirit at times, but we repent and we say, Lord, we ask you to forgive us. But I believe the more we walk with him, I believe the more sensitive we become to what he likes and dislikes.
But how do we defeat the three D's? If you remember that part?
Yes, yes.
Discouragement, depression, and delusion. We referred to it, I think, yesterday for a minute, but we didn't really get into it. That really hit me. Because the last year or so, discouragement and depression and delusion kind of hit me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can preachers be discouraged? Oh.
Paul was, Elijah was. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's an important part of this book.
Yeah, everybody needs part. To order the book. It's on page 148. It's excellent.
You really need to order your book now. And you have them in stock?
We have them in stock. You can receive one of Robert Henderson's new book, which I think is a bold step to go here, The Gift of Tongues. Very few people will ever address this. You'll very rarely ever read this, a book like this. The Gift of Tongues, what it is, what it isn't, and why you need it. One book plus Robert Henderson speaking here on Grace Street about the Gift of Tongues bonus DVD.
It's a video, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a bonus DVD for $25 donation.
For total, both of them.
That's right. And we also have our three-book offer as well, so you can call and order the three-book offer for a donation of $60, which includes the shipping and handling, and you're going to receive three books and one DVD, and better yet, we also have our Baker's Dozen. You can order 13 today for a donation of $185 or more to the ministry. That includes shipping and handling as well.
Well, this that's our missionary offer. You know, I think we should start
I think
down
that should
the
be
format. What missionary offer is the Baker's Dozen, because you can become a missionary with this ministry by passing these out, handing these books to, as the Holy Spirit leads you, hand these books out to people.
I think if there's a missionary book,
yeah, this is.
If the Pentecostals need a missionary right now, we need this book. Yes. This book, I don't know if you realize what a timely book it is.
Yeah.
It is a book that is a now book.
Right. Like, how do we pray for everything going on? We got to go into our prayer language.
Right. We talk about the whole armor of God.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Yet we don't want to put on the Holy Spirit. And this powerful, powerful tool of the Holy Spirit that he gives us to speak to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important. So if you get the baker's dozen, you get
Flash
order 13.
Missionary.
Yeah.
No, I just say missionary offer because you do become a missionary. I think probably I kind of started it years ago just by keeping books in the back of my car that I really believed in. And I can't tell you how many times that I felt led to give somebody a book and how they were so blessed by it. They were kind of like, you're giving this to me? I'm like, yes.
We need a revival.
Yes. We do. Yes.
We need the Holy Spirit in this revival.
Mm-hmm. Yes. See, that's...
Help me.
That's how... If you you went back and hit my history, the pastor I told you about that got filled with the Holy Spirit, my pastor, James Walker, the reason he got filled with the Holy Spirit was because he was in an auto mechanic shop having his car repaired. He was a Baptist pastor. And he said he had told the Lord, I can't do this anymore. Exactly what Jim is talking about, the discouragement. He said, no, he didn't mean he wasn't going to follow Jesus. He meant, I can't do this ministry thing anymore. This is what he told him, unless there's something more, I can't do this anymore. And he said, all of a sudden, he's in this repair shop, a guy out of the blue walks up to him and starts witnessing to him about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues.
Oh, my.
Doesn't have a clue who he is. And Brother Walker said, at that point, he said he thought, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
Right.
But he said within 2 days, Brother Walker said, I was looking for him and found him. And God ended up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, which resulted in all sorts of things happening in his life, his ministry, all of us that were the result of that. But it was because somebody was a missionary with the book, with the message.
With the message.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the 3 Ds. I'm telling you, you could write a book just on that subject, the 3 Ds of discouragement, depression, and delusion. How do we defeat them?
Yeah. All of us go through that. All of us feel down. All of us are even past that. We feel depressed. All that you're mentioning there. And by the way, I think that is a progression. Discouragement, depression, disillusionment. Disillusionment
totally.
Is when you give up on everything. You know, you get discouraged, you don't deal with it, you get depressed.
Right.
I just don't like life anymore. Then you get disillusioned. You don't believe God for anything. Yeah. That's why I put it in those orders. Because I do believe it's a progressive thing that can happen to us.
Really,
but if when I felt discouraged, I knew how to take my prayer language, which Paul clearly said in 1 Corinthians 14, that he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself.
That's right.
Builds himself. And it's the idea of charging a battery. It can be. An idea, it's like when you put jumper cables from, one car to another car or from a charger to a battery, whatever. Mm-hmm. It just charges you back up. And all of a sudden, and again, that's the whole issue. People just don't understand how that could be because you don't get it unless you got it again. but here's the deal is that Jesus said that in your innermost belly, there will be a river of living water that will flow. And he said, this he spoke of the Spirit who was not yet given, for he was not yet glorified. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus was crucified, ended up in heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back, He comes into us, and when we pray in tongues, we're releasing that dynamic river of God that flows from deep on the inside of us. And I picture it like it just washes away all the debris. It washes away the discouragement. Mm-hmm. It starts giving me a brand new perspective that I didn't have maybe a few minutes before. And I began to realize God loves me.
Yeah.
The Bible says he sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's not any longer a mental assent that God loves me. I'm experiencing his love as his presence just washes over me. His love begins to be shed abroad in my heart. That's just, one of the ways that through praying in the Spirit, we start building ourselves up.
That's right.
Chapter 10 of your book, Mysteries Unveiled. You say that praying in tongues allows us access into a place in the spirit world where secrets are unveiled. I love secrets. I love to hear God's word of secrets from God. Will you explain that?
Yeah. Earlier what I said, whenever it says that he who speaks in tongues speaks mysteries, that's the word that literally means to initiate. So if you think about, if I was going to be a part of a club, I would be initiated. I would know maybe secret this, secret that would give me entrance. Well, that's what you do when you're praying in tongues. You step into secret places in God. And in those places of revelation, that's, like I said, during one of some of our times, that's where a lot of my revelation comes from. I'm not one that gets down and just studies the Bible and marks it up. And that's not, I think it's great, but that's not what I do.
Yeah. Right.
What I do, I've read the Bible. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring to your remembrance everything I've said.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, when I'm praying in tongues, he starts bringing back to me scriptures and then starts showing me as I pray in tongues what they mean. That's the mysteries of God being unveiled to some extent.
Exactly.
How are these mysteries, revealed as we're praying?
Yep. Well. See, what happens? I'm praying, and as the Holy Spirit brings a scripture back to me, remember what I said earlier? When you pray in tongues, you can listen and think different thoughts while you're praying in tongues. You can't do that when you're speaking in your own natural language.
That's right.
So when I'm praying in tongues, I'm not having to think about it because it's just flowing out of my spirit, but it lets my mind be free to think about that scripture. So I'm praying in tongues and thinking about it, and all of a sudden things just start unlocking, and I start seeing revelation from that scripture that can be life-changing. And that's what happened with the Court of Heaven and many other things that the Lord's allowed me the privilege to teach. But it has its source in the prayer, in my prayer language.
Mm. Can praying in tongues inspired by the Holy Spirit cause things to move in the unseen world, we can say?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that we're all limited in our natural language in our prayers. I mean, the Bible says we have to have help to do that. But when I pray in the Spirit, I used to tell people this. I said, to me, praying in the Spirit, and we're all old enough to remember the old Batman series, when Commissioner Gordon would pick up the red phone, it goes straight to the Bat Cave.
Right.
I say, praying in the Spirit is like that bat phone. It goes straight to God. It with no interruption. I said, it literally is a hotline to God, because as I pray in the Spirit, it connects me to the Lord. And even if I don't know what I'm saying, even if I don't know, I can feel it in the Spirit. And I can feel things begin to move and be reordered, if you will. Because I can't necessarily explain it all. I just know that there are times I've prayed in the Spirit and mountains that would not move, moved, because they were being addressed out of the heart of God as I prayed in the Spirit.
Yes. Excellent.
Oh, I've got so much more. This book is a necessity. If you want to grow in the Lord, and if you're not speaking in tongues yourselves, and you have the gift, you need to read this. You need to understand. I've had so many men and women of God minister to me the power of praying in tongues, and that we've got to pray in tongues in these days to move mountains. And praying in tongues can save this America. You Pentecostals, you weren't born just to run the aisles. You were born to pray in the Spirit. But praying in tongues is such speaking to God.
Yes.
And you will feel in your own, even if you don't even know what you're saying, I believe God's going to reveal to you what you're saying, but I also believe that God is going to lift you.
Yes, he does.
Lift your spirit as you have prayed.
No, I have a question that I'm
out of time.
I know,
by the way.
But I do have this question that I feel like needs to be answered by you, because you have studied this. You've written.
The airport's closing, and I don't want to crash this plane.
Well,
go ahead.
No, but I'm just wondering. So is it true that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with your heavenly language, mm-hmm. that it's going, like you were just talking about Batman, and mm-hmm. it goes straight to God? Mm-hmm. So can the enemy, can Satan understand that prayer language?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't think so.
I don't have
a scripture and verse for that, but he does say we speak with the tongues of men and of angels.
Right.
And so I would say And someone told me, I agree with this, that when you pray in tongues, you're speaking, you could be speaking in a known language that you don't know.
Right.
Like I spoke in French and
exactly.
didn't know French.
Yes.
Okay. Or you could be speaking in an archaic language that used to be in the earth but's not here anymore. Or you could be speaking in the tongues of angels. And I tell people, I say, be very careful about criticizing what a tongue sounds like. You might be insulting an angel. So I personally don't, I personally believe that the enemy can't decipher that. Right. I really believe it is a code. Again, because if it is true that when we pray in tongues, we're initiated, we're stepping into a realm that is only available to those that, if you will, know that realm. And so the enemy can't go there.
You know what I wish today? That you would just get maybe at least three. Do you have a three deal today? But the three books, plus you get the video of the sermon, but you get those three books to give to your best friend or your neighbor or your pastor. But there's people that need this. You don't know how to speak to them about it. It's hard to just get up and say, well, let's talk about speaking in tongues. That's not an easy subject to get into.
That's right.
It says on the cover, the gift. And you say, I have a little gift for you. I want to send it to you. Put it in a little envelope and just ship it out to that friend. And they... let the book do the talking for you. Let the book
even
minister.
If you are empowered with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, what this book does for you is it helps you to understand in detail so much.
And it's well done.
It's very well done.
And it's simplified for
yes.
all of us.
Yes.
Too. Very, very much. How is the church confused about tongues? Boy, I don't want to get into this. Being a message from God, I know you get into that in the couple parts of this book, and I don't want to get into it because it's controversial.
Yeah,
and I don't avoid controversy, but I understand, and I understand what you're saying in the book, and I understand you're saying it both ways, really, mm-hmm. from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And do you want to explain it at all?
Well, you know, what God, Paul said, very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14, he who prays in tongues speaks to God and not to men. So at the very least, that's our prayer language, that when I pray in tongues, I'm not talking to you. I may be talking to God. I may be talking about you to God, but I'm not talking to you because it says that when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking to God. So I humbly submit that is that true also in a corporate setting when the gift of tongues operates with interpretation, that if praying in tongues is speaking to God and not to men, then is when we speak in tongues in a church setting, because what we've normally said is that tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy, that if somebody stands up and prophesies, it's the word of God to people. Okay, but they said, well, we speak in tongues, and then when it's interpreted, it's a message of God to people. But Paul said we're speaking to God when we speak in tongues. So I say, well, could it be that it's actually a prayer coming out of the message, if you will, in tongues? It's a prayer coming up, and so instead of me saying, as I would interpret a tongue, for thus saith the Lord, God loves you, I would say, Lord, I want to thank you for how much you love Jim. Because it's a matter of the vernacular or the perspective we put it in. And so to me, it's not a huge argument because we need to just give room for the Holy Spirit to move.
But there is interpretation.
Yes, but that's what I'm...
And if we're to pray for even interpretation.
That's right.
So there can be prayer, there can be tongues and interpretation in a service. I think it's gotten out of hand many times. But I believe it's there.
The thing I say about interpretation, for instance, it's not translation. It's not a word-for-word translation normally. If someone prays in tongues, what it is the interpretation of the thought being released. When I've interpreted tongues, which I have a few times, it wasn't that I heard word-for-word. I received the thought that then I expressed out of what I was understanding. And so I interpreted that which God might have been emphasizing and speaking there. So,
well, we've gotten this deep. We might as well go a little deeper. What are the five protocols you talk about in the book?
Well, Paul, you know, actually said very clearly, because of the Corinthian church, they were just all coming together and praying in tongues. And by the way, because I get hit with this, that people say, well, I heard you during while you were worshiping praying in tongues. Doesn't that need to be interpreted? I said, no, there's my own personal worship to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because people that don't understand, they become very legalistic and looking for any reason to condemn and criticize.
Yeah.
And so I said, no, I was just worshiping in my tongue. Paul said I was singing the Spirit. I was just singing with us in the Spirit.
I think there's, I haven't gone deep with this with you in this discussion before the show, but the tongues and then the interpretation in tongues, the prayer language of tongues is so powerful that I don't believe the prayer language is the tongues and interpretation for the church. I think it's a different situation, but
yes.
I may be wrong. But I'm concerned about this because I don't want people to get confused now, because it's so powerful. It's so important. And I've heard tongues and interpretation are that I believe were right on. I believe they were very powerful. But it's something that you can't just let loose in a non-spirit-filled personality that can take over.
Yeah. What, for instance, when I've prayed, I've only a handful of times have I ever given, if you will, a message in tongues in a setting. You know, I wouldn't usually move in prophecy or, but I think we don't hear much anymore. That's one of the things I believe God wants to bring back, because it's very powerful. But I believe, this is what I believe, my own personal prayer language is different from what I would speak out. Anytime I've given a message in tongues in a setting, it always had a different inflection, different verbiage. It was a different language, a different dialect. You could tell that was coming out of me as opposed to what I normally naturally prayed in my own prayer time, my own prayer language, because the Bible talks about the variety of tongues.
What do you mean?
Well, that means that there's certain people, obviously, that have the gift of tongues for the corporate setting, and they'll speak.
So there's variety of tongues.
There's variety of tongues, different languages that a person, there's a grace on them, and that the Spirit will move through them, and it may be a different tongue than they've ever spoken before. And that's usually though the signal that this person has that gifting in their life.
That's right. It's like, and their heart, they have to say it.
Yes.
To the urgency. It's like your heart's beating so fast that it has to be said. Yes.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to get the book. Because now I'm like, wow, now into this, like, what?
Well,
the proper protocol.
But he's taught us well.
So,
and
wow.
We need the book. You need it. This would be great for your church. Yes. If you go to a church that would teach such a thing, to use this as a midweek service teaching.
I would tell them anything they disagree with, just pull the pages out.
Yeah. Give it to somebody.
You can do that with that. You can't do that with the Bible.
No, yeah, that's no, don't, right.
Don't do that.
Oh, word of God.
Don't do that. But order the book right now.
Amen.
Don't miss out on what God has for you.
Right. You never know what he has.
God doesn't put stuff in the Bible to trick us up or to give us cause for argumentation. We argue on our own. But it's very important that we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have the speaking in tongues. We have the gifts of it. He'll give you the power.
Amen.
To live in this day, the power over the enemy. The enemy thinks he's got us. He doesn't. You have the power. Mm. Why you wouldn't want the tools of the Holy Spirit is beyond me. You need the gift of tongues. I want you to order the book right now, toll free, 1-888-988-1588, and we'll mail it to you, and you can get the book and the video.
Mm-hmm. And the bonus DVD teaching of Robert Henderson right here on Grace Street on the gift of tongues. Mm-hmm.
So you get one book for what?
$25, or you can receive...
And that's in the video.
And the bonus DVD, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Or you can receive three books for $60, and that includes one DVD, which is friends and family offer, or better yet, the Baker's Dozen missionary offer, be a missionary and spread this message. We need the gift of tongues like never before in this generation that we are all living in, which is so powerful. It's just so powerful. And the power to live with Holy Spirit inside of us, we have to have that dunamis power.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and my whole family, my grandfather was the pastor. It started in his house.
Their home church. Yeah.
So I'm Pentecostal, whether you like it or not. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be alive right now if I wasn't filled with God's Spirit to be able to hear from God.
All of us could probably say that.
So, well, order the book, and anybody who can give an offering of any amount today is a bonus, a little offering, $10, $20, $100, any amount of money. It all comes together. This is the offering plate. Just believe you're in a service and you were blessed by Robert Henderson, and you say, well, I just want to sow into this ministry today. And that will bless us all together. We do have to go. Did you want to say goodbye?
Well, I just want to have Robert pray real quick.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Could I just, maybe anybody that you just said, I want the gift of tongues.
Yes.
Listen, you can do that now.
That's it.
So the Bible, here's what the Bible says. He said, who's it for? It says, to you, to your children, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who it's for. So, Father, right now, I want to pray for all of these that are watching from around the world. Father, I want to pray if they're hungry, if they're thirsty, Lord, they're the ones you feel. Lord, I pray right now, would you baptize them in the Holy Spirit and let the tongues be released from the depths of their being. You said out of them would flow rivers of living water. So right now, just say this, I receive the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And thank you, Lord Jesus.
And thank you, Lord Jesus.
For unlocking deep within me.
For unlocking deep within me.
The unction of that Spirit.
The unction of that Spirit.
That releases tongues.
That releases tongues.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen, open up your mouth and just begin to speak. Just began to speak because what's coming out of you is the Spirit. Don't let the devil talk you out of it and say, oh, that's not anything, that's you. No, that's the Spirit of God moving through you.
Amen.
Our time's gone for today. And I wish we could have a few more hours, but we don't. But we're going to have Robert Henderson back with us again.
Yes.
Really, really soon. Mm-hmm. We do have to go. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.